Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Alyssa. I'm a canon for congregational development. I'm your canon for congregational development. I work for the bishop's office, and it's really wonderful to be here on this, your last day of wandering in the wilderness, right? The last, I'm so excited for you, Grace, as you begin a new relationship with a new person as your rector in the days to come. I thought, to mark the occasion, I would let you in on one of the most common conversations that clergy have with each other when you guys aren't in the room, right? So here it is, what priests talk about when no one else is around. Self-care, mostly. You know, like how we take care of ourselves, what day we're taking off, how we're managing vacation, how we track hours, etc. Which is, it's probably not as exciting as whatever it was you were imagining we talk about. More specifically, and especially lately in my role as canon, I find myself in lots of conversations with clergy about the tension many of us experience between our desire to do a really good job in our vocation and the fact that this work, like lots of vocations, can end up being the only thing we do. It's easy for priests to neglect our families and our social lives and care of our own selves in favor of our work. You all are just so compelling. So I want you to keep this in mind as you embark on a new relationship with your new rector. Perhaps this same dilemma can be true for almost any sort of work, especially if you're someone who was born and raised here in USA dominant culture. We have this thing that is deeply rooted in us called the Protestant work ethic. Heard of it? The Protestant work ethic basically says that you can tell how good, moral, and just a person is by how hard they work. So if you want to figure out how valuable you are, check and make sure you're working harder than other people. That's what many of us are conditioned to believe. And that's where the one-upmanship begins, right? This weird competition that so many of us engage in, not just clergy, as to who is working the hardest, who's the busiest, which then determines who is the most important. I look at you and what you have and what you do to get it, and I can discern from that some other way to understand my own life's value. Or I look at what you do and what you get paid to do it and discern from that some way to understand the value of my own work and pay and status in the world. And conversely, when we see people who aren't working hard in ways that are easy for us to perceive, we're conditioned to think that they're not as good, as moral, or as just. This back and forth, this competition and comparison is normal. It's so normal that economic systems have been built upon this principle. It's so natural that most of us start to build our identities in these comparative, competitive ways, especially if we have siblings, before we learn how to walk. Our scripture readings this morning were written long before the Protestant work ethic was a thing. But human beings have been comparing and competing ever since Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. Our gospel acknowledges this facet of human nature and then dismantles it in an uncomfortable way. This morning we hear a parable that knows how natural and normal it is to decide what you deserve as compared to what other people deserve. And this parable also knows that this is not the way that our God loves. In the kingdom of God, all of God's creation deserves to thrive, to have what is needed, and to benefit from the generosity and love of the Creator. Our parable this morning is a deconstruction of competitive and comparative living. And at least for me, it hits pretty close to home. In this parable, an involved landowner hires workers at the beginning of the day for a fair and living wage, at least a normal wage. The landowner then returns to the marketplace repeatedly throughout the day, continuing to hire whoever is standing around looking for work. At the end of the day, they're all paid the same wage, even those who have just worked an hour or so. This is disorienting for the workers who've been in the fields since the early morning hours. I would be offended too. After all, by the rules we all live by, what feels natural and normal to us, the landowner is devaluing the work of those who've been at it all day by paying them the same wage as those who have just begun. It's not fair. But here's the thing, I think, that this parable story has to say to us this morning. God does not care about what you and I think is fair. And God will not love us more if we work harder. Like, it hurts me to say that. God cares about the world God has made and the real physical well-being of all the people in it, which means that when the end of the day arrives and it's time to get paid, God is not asking what is fair, but rather what is necessary for all people to experience health and safety and the opportunity to flourish. God's concern is for those who may not have enough to feed their families, for those who have been idle all day because there is no work, for those who've never heard someone proclaim through word and deed the amazing and generous love of God. One of my favorite theologians, Sally McFaig, describes God's love as something similar to the love of a mother for her children. She says, "Parental love wills life. And when it comes, exclaims, 'It is good that you exist.' This love which wills life doesn't care about what the child has accomplished, whether that child is weak or strong, deserving or undeserving." Where this metaphor falls short for McFaig, however, is that God loves this way, feels this love for all that God has created. We cannot imagine love like this, not even those of us who've had the experience of parenthood, because we are human and we only know how to love preferentially, comparing this love to that one to determine its worth. I know I love my children because I love them more than I love your children, because I love them the most, right? Even our loves must compete and be compared in order to have value. God's love is different, Jesus tells us in our parable this morning. God loves every person and everything that God has created with that intense parental love that simply exclaims, "It is good that you exist." God's love doesn't care about what we think is fair or deserved or our need to rank and compare. God just loves and invites us to join in that love, which is not super comfortable for us. Maybe that's another message for us in this parable of the generous landowner. That getting close to God's love for and in this world might make us mad. Maybe if it doesn't, if we are not made uncomfortable by God's radical call to love and provide for everyone, regardless of their rank or societal value, if we're not rendered a little bit jealous or angry or uncomfortable in doing the work of God's love in this world, well, maybe we're not as close to that love as we should be. This is a humbling thing for those of us who got here first, isn't it? It is incredibly good news for those of us who just arrived. You see, in God's kingdom, we don't have to struggle to determine our worth. We are each fully loved, fully wanted, fully accepted children of our Creator. There is space at God's table for all of us. But we do have a choice, especially those of us who are like the workers who began early. Will we join with all the beloved creation and give up our ideas of fairness in favor of God's generosity and justice? Or will we pass on the opportunity to partake of that joy and complain about that generosity instead?